The Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Originally called Plum Creek, Lockhart, Texas, located about 30 miles south of Austin in Caldwell County, began as a small ranching and agricultural community after surveyor Bird Lockhart was sent there by Green DeWitt in the 1820s. Like many towns and cities across the state and the nation, the arrival of the railroad in the late 19th century is what allowed Lockhart to grow, both economically and in terms of population. But Lockhart grew at an incredibly modest pace through the years, allowing it to maintain a small-town charm that is abundantly apparent in old articles. Even into the mid and late 20th century, reading Lockhart's newspaper evokes romanticized, perhaps cinematic, thoughts and mental images of the town as the perfect place to grow up. The paper is full of news of what residents did on vacation, what social activities they've been active in or are going to be active in. The local 4-H club's happenings are seemingly always a topic of the news. The Youth Development Organization, which stands for Head, Heart, Hands, and Health, is obviously a big deal there, as is Lockhart High School's Lions' various sports competitions. In 1993, however, a tragedy struck Lockhart when two of their own became a story the likes of which was unheard of in the quiet, picturesque small town. Both individuals were well known to the community. They were highly involved in extracurricular activities in their youth and were well publicized in the town's paper, the Lockhart Post Register. One was found murdered in nearby McCann, and another, along with his 9-year-old son, vanished. Born on September 19, 1953, Lee Howard Wackerhagen Jr., or Dub as he was known to friends and family, was already stout and husky at 2.5 years old, and it was playfully predicted at that time that he'd be a star football player in his future. It was baseball, however, that would catch his interest at an early age, perhaps because his father, Lee Howard Wackerhagen Sr., was the manager for the Lockhart Little League team, the Tigers. Though it is unclear if Dub's love for the sport inspired Lee Sr.'s choice to become a manager for the team, or vice versa. Regardless, Dub was a star player in the league from the get-go. Even upon the tragic death of his mother, Margaret, as the result of diabetic ketoacidosis when he was only 12, Dub thrived through sports and extracurricular activities through the entirety of his youth. He quickly rose through the ranks of Lockhart High School's all-district baseball team, the Lions. When he wasn't guarding the ever-important first base, Dub was occupying third as the senior third baseman, and when he wasn't playing defense, he was knocking balls out of the park. Even when the team lost, Dub was almost always reported in the Lockhart Post Register as hitting home runs in the game. In one report, Dub practically and impressively won a game single-handedly when he had 2 bases-loaded homers in his senior year. When Dub Wackerhagen wasn't playing ball, he participated in Future Farmers of America, or FFA, activities. Though he told the Lockhart Post Register when they ran a detailed special on Lockhart High's class of 1972 that he planned to take welding at Del Mar Tech and wanted to work in town, that plan didn't seem to work out. Dub spent a little time as a backhoe operator before ultimately becoming a truck driver. He was married to his first wife only a couple years after graduating in 1974. The couple had no kids and divorced in 1978. Dub married again in 1980, had no children with his second wife either, and that marriage ended in 1982. By 1984, Dub Wackerhagen was considered married under common law, and he and his wife welcomed into their lives Dub's first and only child, who they named Chance, on September 2nd of that year. Things between the couple and their son went well at first, but in 1990, they divorced. Dub sought custody of his son, but was given weekends. The split was tumultuous, presumably, since Chance was picked up and dropped off at Dub's aunt's house. His ex-wife, Chance's mother, said she thought Dub was a good man when she met him, but discovered that his temper was terrible, and she said that he treated her oldest son, who wasn't his, badly. She feared Dub, she said. He was a large man by this time, well over 6 feet tall, and weighing around 230 pounds. Other than a DUI, Dub Wackerhagen had no criminal record. It wasn't long after his divorce from his third wife that Dub began seeing an old Lockhart High School flame, Latricia White. Latricia Gale White, known simply as Trish to most, was born in Austin, Texas on November 30th, 1955, to Jack and Susan White, but she grew up in Lockhart. Her father described her as having an incredible personality, a people magnet, and the trait is something that was apparent early on in Trish's life. In her last year of junior high, already a longtime member and recreation leader of the local 4-H, she won the organization's Junior Miss Award. In her sophomore year at Lockhart High, where she was a member of the drill team, the Lionettes, Trish was named Mother Advisor of the Lockhart Assembly for the International Order of the Rainbow, a Masonic Youth Services organization. That was the beginning of a big year for the girl. In 1971, she'd go on to win a Gold Star at Caldwell County's 4-H competitions, along with a 4-H Junior Showmanship plaque. Trish, too, in 1971, was named Grand Champion in the Fat Lamb Division, a competition that is exactly as it sounds. 1972 was also a good year for Trish. She was chosen as Lockhart's Junior Miss, winning a total of $800 in scholarships, including one from the University of Mary Hardin Baylor, and the right to compete in the Texas Junior Miss pageant. Trish also went on to represent Lockhart in FFA Nationals in Kansas City that year. Somewhere along the line, she picked up a guitar and learned to play. Graduating from Lockhart High in 1973, Trish went on to attend Sam Houston State in Huntsville to study horticulture, but she still stayed involved in the Order of the Rainbow and 4-H back at home. In 1974, Trish married. The couple had a daughter the following year, but divorced in 1977. She remarried in 1981 and gave birth to a son in 1982. Trish began working as a nurse at the Central Texas Medical Center in nearby San Marcos in 1989. A divorce from her second husband was finalized in November of 1993. She'd already been seeing a man she'd dated briefly in high school, Lee Dub Wackerhagen. By December of 1993, Trish White and Dub Wackerhagen had been seeing each other for about 2 years. Dub stayed at Trish's home in McMahon, about 8 miles east of their hometown of Lockhart, when he wasn't on the road as a truck driver. The two kept in touch after high school and through their rocky relationships, and it appeared as though their relationship was just as turbulent as the others. According to Trish's family, Dub was abusive, controlling, and jealous. He wanted to know, they said, where Trish was at all times. Dub's sister, however, disputed the notion and described the fights the couple had as nothing serious. In Kingsville, Texas, on Friday, December 17, 1993, Dub's son, Chance, left his mother's home to spend the holiday break with his father. On Thursday, December 23rd, Trish, according to a friend of the couple, yelled at Chance for leaving a sink faucet running, causing water to overflow on the floor. An argument ensued and ended with Dub leaving with Chance. Trish spent Christmas Day with her family back in Lockhart, and, according to her father, Jack White, she was just fine. Also, on Christmas Day, Chance called his mother to ask if he could stay with his dad for a few more days. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed 9-year-old boy was beaming with excitement over the gifts he'd found under the tree. Chance was chomping at the bit to wear in the presents, and his mother couldn't resist his pleas to stay a little longer. The boy's dimple on his right cheek was likely pronounced as his mother gave the okay. The next day, Sunday, December 26th, Trish, Dub, and Chance were seen dining at a local restaurant, and witnesses said everything seemed fine then, too. Trish's 18-year-old daughter and 10-year-old son were away, spending some of their break at the home of a relative. On Monday, December 27th, 1993, when Trish was a no-call, no-show at work, both her coworkers and her family began to worry. It was rare for Trish to miss work, and entirely out of character for her to not call if she did. She wasn't answering the home phone either, further concerning her mother, father, and sister. Finally, after waiting around for Trish to make contact, her father, Jack White, couldn't wait any longer. Alongside his son-in-law, he hopped in his vehicle to drive to Trish's house to find out what was going on. Mr. White had a key to his daughter's home, so they entered. The family's concern was, unfortunately, realized when he reached Trish's bedroom and discovered a gruesome and heartbreaking sight. His daughter lay dead on her bed. When, on Monday, December 27th, 1993, at about 6:30 p.m., Jack White found the lifeless, bloodied body of his daughter, Trish, in her bed, he called her name as he approached to feel her, but he already knew from the scene that she was dead. The Caldwell County Sheriff's Office were informed, giving them simultaneous first priorities to perform. Investigators, of course, needed to process the scene quickly, and police needed to know immediately where the 9-year-old boy who'd been staying was. They called Chance's mother, but he wasn't with her. In fact, she hadn't spoken with her son since Christmas Day, when he called to ask if he could stay with his father for a few more days. Chance and his father, Lee Dub Wackerhagen, were nowhere to be found. Upon autopsy, it was determined that Trish was shot 6 times in the head with a .22 caliber firearm. She'd been dead, the medical examiner estimated, anywhere from 24 to 36 hours before she was discovered. The scene showed no signs of a struggle taking place, and there was no forced entry into the home. The murder weapon wasn't left behind either. Burglary wasn't the motive, they quickly surmised, as nothing was missing from the home, besides Dub and Chance. While there was no sign of Dub, a small footprint in blood found on the scene indicated that Chance was there either during or shortly after Trish was murdered. The blood that made the print was later positively identified as belonging to Trish. Caldwell County Sheriff's Department Deputy Mark Hanna commented the following day, Tuesday, December 28, 1993, that while they had no immediate suspects, they believed the killing to be a crime of passion. Detectives were interviewing friends and family, he told the Lockhart Post Register. Deputy Hanna said that while they had no leads, he didn't think Dub was, quote, anywhere around here. Investigators desperately needed to locate Chance and Dub. They worried early on that Dub might quickly become a suspect, and that meant that Chance was also the victim of a crime. The Caldwell County Sheriff's Department investigators' efforts to locate Chance and Dub weren't paying off. 3 days after the discovery of Trisha's body, though, on Thursday, December 30th, 1993, at about 1 a.m., Austin police found Dub's green 1968 Ford pickup truck on the east side of the city, off Highway 183. It was about 30 miles from Trisha's McMahon home. The area in which the vehicle was found, according to police, was known for its high crime rate, though the vehicle still appeared to contain the contents abandoned along with it. Inside the cab of the pickup, police found Dub's checkbook, his wallet, and his hunting rifle. The firearm had not been recently fired. The bed of the truck contained several items that you'd expect to find there, including a toolbox and a spare tire. Some items, opened and unopened Christmas presents, perhaps, could be expected considering the season, but one detail rendered them otherwise. They all had blood on them. The blood, police thought, surely belonged to Trish. They rushed the bloodied gifts to the crime lab. They rushed the bloodied gifts to the crime lab to confirm that it was. It was a great shock to police to discover that the blood did not belong to her. DNA technology was still in its infancy at the time, and forensic technicians were unable to conclude whether or not the blood belonged to Chance or Dub. Though investigators working the case were concerned at the discovery of blood that didn't belong to their known victim, the amount they originally reported to the press wasn't enough to suggest a fatal wound. Rather, it suggested that someone had been injured, as Sheriff Mike Baining put it, quote, not seriously. As law enforcement began verbalizing their theories with the press, it became evident that they thought from the beginning that Dub killed Trish and fled with his son, Chance. It seemed obvious enough to investigators something happened that angered Dub, and he went into a fit of rage, killing his girlfriend, especially after speaking with Trish's family about their problems, Dub's controlling jealousy and emotional abuse. Susan White, Trish's mother, had her theory too. I think she told him the relationship was over, and he just couldn't take the rejection, she said. Investigators, though, theorized that an argument began over something having to do with Chance, and things turned fatal. Dub's ex-wife, too, told police of Dub's hot temper, adding that he was planning on filing for custody of Chance. She also stated, though, that he wouldn't hurt Chance. Caldwell County Sheriff's Deputy Mark Hanna said, he's a pretty good suspect, and until we talk to him, a lot of questions will remain unanswered. On the day Austin police discovered Dub's truck there, Caldwell County issued a warrant for the arrest of Lee Dub Howard Wackerhagen on the charge of murder. Dub was to be considered armed and dangerous, authorities said, though the man had no criminal record to speak of. The FBI, too, put out warrants for Dub's arrest. The charges were custodial interference and unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. Dub's friends and family didn't think he had anything to do with Trisha's death. His sister said that because the family hadn't heard from him, they're sure he's dead. A friend of his commented that there was no way Dub was capable of such a crime, let alone capable of disappearing without a trace or contact. They feared that he and Chance were victims too. Police, however, would later comment that Dub was their one and only suspect, and it would be many years before any other possibilities were thoroughly investigated. On Thursday, January 6, 1994, 9 days since Trish White was discovered shot to death in her home, and her boyfriend, Dub, and his son, Chance, had disappeared without a trace, Caldwell County Sheriff's Deputy Mark Hanna told the paper, he's supposed to go back to school today, so we're hoping there will be some contact made today. His high hopes, however, were dashed. Law enforcement was sure Dub killed Trish in a fit of rage, fleeing with his son who he'd been seeking custody of from his ex-wife. They were so sure, in fact, that the investigation seemed to be only looking there, leaving other possibilities hanging. Evidence and leads, if there were any, likely dwindling with time. A phone call received by Chance's maternal grandfather 4 months later only furthered police's suspicions of Dub.
"Help me,"
the voice on the calling end reportedly said before the phone sounded as if it was abruptly jerked from the caller's hand and hung up. The receiver was sure the voice belonged to his grandson, Chance. Police initially thought this event strengthened their theory, though they'd later assume it to be a hoax. On February 17, 1995, the television program Unsolved Mysteries aired the story. The Lockhart Post Register said that Dub was law enforcement's only suspect in Trish's death shortly thereafter. Dub could easily make money to live through his connections in the trucking industry, police thought, and anyway, there were rumors and accusations that Dub's family was helping him stay under the radar, supplying him with money and whatever else they could. The family, though, insisted they hadn't heard from him or Chance since they went missing. Also, in 1995, a $10,000 scholarship was set up in Trish White's honor, offering help to students seeking an education in the medical field. Lee Howard Wackerhagen Sr., Dub's father, committed suicide in 1999. Though he never knew the truth of what happened to his son and his grandson, it was in his obituary that they preceded him in death. In 2002, Dub was placed on the Texas Department of Safety's top 10 most wanted list. And 8 years later, in 2010, age progression photos of him and Chance were mailed out, courtesy of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The mailings were expected to reach nearly 7 million Texas homes. Chance's mother continued insisting that Dub wouldn't hurt their son, though believed that he probably did kill Trish. She was angry and in anguish, but hoped with all her heart that Dub and Chance were on the run and would eventually be found, she and her son reunited. Chance's mother hired a private detective and appeared on the Maury Povich show, but her efforts to locate her son, much like law enforcement's, were fruitless. The warrants for Dub's arrest remained active. In 2015, a fresh look at the case provided new possibilities. A Texas Ranger assigned to reinvestigate Trish's murder, along with Chance and Dub's disappearance, didn't like what he found when he was looking over the case file. He found several problems with the original investigation. Upon his taking over the case, the Texas Ranger, never named in reports, visited Chance's mother, Dub's ex, and gave her news that shocked her. He believed that Dub and Chance were also the victims of foul play, likely meeting a fate similar to the one Trish met, and not long after. The original investigators, in their rush to the judgment of Dub Wackerhagen, the Ranger said, ignored the details of the contentious divorce and custody battle that Trish and her second husband had been embroiled in. It wasn't just the divorce and custody fight that had the Texas Rangers' suspicions piqued, but also the fact that Trish had won the custody dispute, and he'd found a damning witness account of the ex-husband's movements on the last day Trish was known to be alive. He had visited her home to pick up something of their child's, it's reported, but said that no one answered the door. Even though highly suspicious of Dub, Trish White's family strongly suggested to police that investigators look at her ex-husband when the investigation began. But from all reports and Caldwell Sheriff's Department investigators' quotes, they appear to have simply concentrated on Dub. The blinders they wore, perhaps, not only wasting valuable time, but also resulting in evidence missed. What the Texas Ranger found as he began his reinvestigation didn't stop there, not by a long shot. It was released to the press that not only was blood found on the Christmas gifts in the bed of Dub's pickup, but also elsewhere in the vehicle. More shocking, though, was the news that the amount of blood wasn't as insignificant as police told the press back in 1993. The amount, in fact, was enough to suggest the possibility of fatalities, and they now knew that the blood belonged to two separate individuals, two related individuals. Though it is unclear from precisely what type of device and just how investigators obtained the information in the early days of mobile phones, original investigators said that a phone call was made from Dub's truck sometime during the 3 days before it was discovered and after Trish was shot to death in her bed, suggesting to them that Dub had made the call, and they considered it a significant piece of circumstantial evidence for them. The new investigator, however, determined an error in the original line of investigation, a big one. The call was actually placed a year prior, long before Trish's murder and Chance and Dub's disappearances. Finally, in the spring of 2016, police announced that they now believed Chance and Dub were also the victims of foul play. If another individual is responsible for Trish's murder and the father and son's disappearance, the crime was likely planned and carried out carefully to implicate Dub as the perpetrator. The case, law enforcement said, was reopened and being thoroughly reinvestigated. The murder still believed to be a crime of passion perpetrated by an individual who knew and was well familiar with one or more of the victims, just not Dub. The investigation into just what happened that December, back in 1993, after over two decades, perhaps is now on the right track. Kingsville Crime Stoppers, where the 9-year-old boy lived with his mother, is offering a reward of $5,000 for information on the whereabouts of Chance Wackerhagen. They can be contacted at 877-553-2374. If you have any information about the murder of Latricia Trish White and or the disappearances of Lee Dub Wackerhagen and Chance Wackerhagen, please contact the Texas Rangers through the Department of Public Safety's cold case website at dps.texas.gov/texasrangers/unsolved homicides or by calling 800-252-8477. TheTrueCrimeFiles.com, the Lockhart Post Register, the New Brunswick Herald, the Austin American Statesman, LostAndFoundBlogs.com, CharlieProject.org, MySanAntonio.com, and Unsolved.com were used as sources for this episode. Please be sure to check out the TrueCrimeFiles.com's coverage of this case, as well as the many other brilliantly done cases Christine has covered over there. If you're not listening to the True Crime Files podcast, too, you're missing out. It's at the top of our list. If you'd like to become a supporter of Gone Cold on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/GoneColdPodcast. There are several varying donation levels to choose from, with perks to go along with each, including ad-free listening at all levels. Donations help us cover the costs of research and production, and we can't thank y'all enough for your support. Thanks for listening, y'all.